Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the E2G Sports Network, home of the unsung sports grid. Visit us at E2GSports.com and follow us across the socials for up-to-the-minute sports news. This podcast is the property of E2G Sports, LLC. Now, it's time for the show.
Hi, and welcome to the MGM Show on the Ear to the Ground Sports
Network,
the unsung sports grid. Mike, you would like to think that I'd be a little used to that whole interruption. Intentional, we're grand, but apparently I was just thrown off tonight. I apologize. Guys, I'm Galen, joined by my good friends, Mike, MJ. It is Wednesday, the 28th, July 28th, 8 o'clock, and we are coming to you live from Blog Talk Radio in this beautiful July afternoon / evening, wherever you may be. Fellas, how you guys doing tonight?
What's up, boss man? I'm doing great. How you feeling tonight?
I'm doing all right. All's well with you. Did you work today? How's everything going?
Oh, man, I went in there for a minute, did some things. I had some important stuff to do. Always working, man. You know what I mean? Even when it's your day off, you always got things to do, man. I'm in a position of power. And to quote Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. So I had to go through some things, got out, though, but trying to relax, you know, been hitting the gym hard lately, so looking good, feeling proud, just everything good. Spirits are up, my friend.
Nice. Yeah, and Lord knows, being your friend all these years, I've seen it, heard from you, you know, just calling, you know, just doing what we do, checking in with each other and stuff like that. You've told me, hey, we're supposed to be off, but the Spartan that you are, the soldier that you are, I feel like literally in your neighborhood, in your world, there really is no such thing as no days off, because if they come calling, they're in a pinch, you're always there to kind of bail them out and step up and just do what you got to do.
Appreciate that,
you
know? G-Money. I appreciate that, because what do we think?
I know how it is.
We're grand. That's
yep,
it.
We are
I
grand.
Appreciate it, man. No doubt. What's up, MJ? How you there? How you doing, brother? What's going on, my man?
What's going on, guys? How are we?
Good.
How's everyone talking about
our hard work, dedication, and our respective fields and stuff like that. How was work for you today?
Talk about Mike's, not yours, buddy. You're talking about Mike's, not yours, right?
Well, I can kind of say that to a lesser extent.
The road somewhere, laying on the beach.
Yeah. I've worked with Galen. Come on.
And I put a quotation, he'd be relaxing. You see his pictures of him at the beach, sitting there.
He's in the beach. Oh, yeah, there we go.
Why are you guys hating for it? Like, you got to live a
you
little.
Know, you got
to mix it in.
Yeah, live a lot. You were just talking about last week or a couple of weeks ago, you were getting your tan in. Remember that? Oh, I was working on my tan.
Your tan in, yeah, I forgot about that.
That's the work he does.
100%. No, but that's good, guys. It's been a couple weeks now since we've been back at it. Feels good to get after it tonight. Just that time. Mike, can you start us off with tonight's rundown, please? Starting lineup.
Welcome, folks. Today is Wednesday, the 28th, and today we will be going over. Let's start off with, can you believe Giannis and the Bucks overcome an 0-2 hole, folks, to win the NBA championship? Does that give non-super teams, and I put a quotation mark, some hope for 2022 and beyond? Giannis, can he or even should he be the face of the NBA moving forward? Ooh, big trade rumors. Bradley Beal eyes Boston as a legitimate landing spot upon trade request. Ooh, wouldn't that be something? Is it feeling mutual here in Boston? Should the Seas or even can the Seas pull the trigger on that one? And folks, what we all been waiting for, NFL is officially back. Training camp is underway across the league. We will get into some rumors, some moves, and we'll just scratch the surface, because we know the NFL talk could go forever, but we will be talking about that. Also, let's not forget Major League Baseball, the trade deadline, baby, is Friday, fast approaching. Will the Red Sox, or do even the Red Sox, max Tampa Bay and make a big trade in pursuit of a possible title this season? And then we'll have our final thought segment after that, folks. Welcome back to the show.
Absolutely. And just like you stated, right off the top, we're going to pick it up. You know, we're a little bit behind by a few days here. But the Bucks did the improbable. I know they made MJ look they made MJ look pretty bad with his prediction. me and Mike were not far behind, but we were a little bit more gracious with the Bucks and basically their chances is what I'm getting at. But yeah, I mean MJ, you didn't give Giannis and the boys any shot. I mean, and rightfully so. I mean, Phoenix has been getting it done all year long, regular season, playoffs. It didn't matter. It seemed like it was their title, or bust, right? And literally that's exactly what happened with the latter. You know, they busted. They blew it. But I know maybe not in a sweep, but I could clearly see where you were coming from, maybe win it comfortably 4-1. But, not only did the Bucks steal game 3, but they go on from there and just dominate, sweep the rest of the series for them to win the NBA title 4-2. I mean, what are your thoughts? I have to start with you because you were the only one I couldn't help to think of, with such strong predictions and stuff like that when we were last on.
Well, yeah, I mean, the last time we were on, the Suns were up to, I think it was 2-1, I believe, at the time.
It was 2-0.
It was 2-0?
Was up, and they were playing that night. They were playing that night.
Yeah. So, yeah, so they tied it up that night. So it was 2-1 when we talked, and then eventually they tied it up that night. I just felt when, going into that series, the Suns had all the momentum in the world going. They took down the Lakers. They took down the it was the Jazz, right? I'm blanking already. And then they took down the Clippers, obviously. Obviously, the Clippers lost Kawhi, but they just had it. They went up 2-0 like it was nothing. They had everything on the world. They had the Chris Paul momentum. Devin Booker was balling. DeAndre Ayton was coming into his own. So it just seemed as though, like at that time, and the way the series started, it just seemed as though that the Bucks, it was just too much for the Bucks to handle. And the way the Bucks got by to the finals, it seemed too good to be true. I mean, they had the Hawks, which is an up-and-coming team, but they haven't come up yet. The Nets were bewildered. They were not the same Nets that we thought they were going to be. Kyrie was out. James Harden was a shell of himself, and all they had was Durant. And even that took them to a Game 7. So, and I just didn't like the way the Bucks were playing. They were playing very, loosely with the ball. They were just playing like they didn't know what they were doing, and the entire team just didn't feel as though they had that championship swagger that the Suns had at the time. But for some reason, Giannis proved to why he is a two-time NBA MVP and obviously Finals MVP this time around, and he just dominated. The stat line he put up is just it's unworldly. We haven't seen anything like it since probably Shaq in the 2000. That 1999-2000 season and the finals that year. It's just from a big man standpoint. And Chris Middleton came up clutch when he needed to. Those two players came, that whole Batman-Robin dynamic. They were people early on were contemplating, they were debating who is Batman, who is Robin. Maybe Chris Middleton's Batman and Giannis is Robin. But Giannis just proved why he is, he is an all-worldly player. And he actually made a good, it's good to see that someone that was drafted by the team, stayed with the team, signed a long-term contract with the team, and has just a bubbly personality, stay home and win a championship for a small market team. Like, not everyone's trying to flock to Milwaukee to, to sign there, all the NBA stars. So it's good to see that it can happen. It can happen for a guy, I know we mentioned Bradley Beal, but for an example, Bradley Beal stayed there and Washington won a championship. It's good to see instead of these guys that are bouncing around, jumping from team to team. I'm not saying Chris Paul was traded there, so that's a different scenario, but the LeBrons, the Kevin Durants, the Kyries, we see this going on way too much. And it just makes the NBA, very predictable, and it's just getting boring. Like, I don't know about you guys. I mean, I know you're a LeBron James fan, Galen, but 4 straight years of Cavs and Warriors, That was just annoying after a while. I'm just like, I know who it's going to be at the end of the year.
I love a little
parity in the NBA.
Yep.
So I'd love to see
I agree,
that. 100%. Congratulations to the Bucks, and that that they were able to, you know, have a good story, you know, have another two different franchises in the NBA. A lot of people didn't watch, which is, you know, concerning for NBA, you know, the NBA execs. But, I mean, I felt like it was better to see that as opposed to seeing the same old story, you know, different day. So it's nice. But congrats to the Bucks, and let's hope this starts a trend that we can see guys like Jokic, Gobert, Mitchell, Doncic. They just stay at stay and build something. You know, become a champion within your own organization. Because in this day's NBA, it just doesn't seem like it's not the norm anymore. But let's make it the norm again. Let's go back to old NBA.
And it hasn't been the norm to your point, I'm glad you hit on this because I was definitely going to mention it, but it hasn't been the norm for, it seems like, forever, easily a few years, if not even longer. It seems like it's been quite
longer
a while, so I feel like, you know, the fact that we got the Giannis's of the world potentially starting a new precedent, I like it. Mike?
You know, even a broken clock is right twice a day, you know. I had a horrible NBA playoff prediction, as I like to talk about each week, but I was 0-for whatever. I don't think I got one series right. I don't think I got one game right. And we were down 0-2 in this series, and I said the Bucks would win it. I came out and I told him, I said, I just think Milwaukee would not only win that night, but come back and win the series. And Galen, you did stick with me on it. And Jay thought you and I were smoking some really good stuff, but we did come back. I mean, they did, and you know, and they came back, and you know, but let's go back a little bit and let's look at the beginning of the season when they were the projected one seed before the big move down in New York. So if Brooklyn hadn't created quote unquote that super team, Milwaukee was the team that everyone was projected out of the East anyway, because Philly were quote-unquote choke artists. The Brooklyn Nets weren't built yet. Boston was up and coming and had, we knew, were missing pieces with the Celtics. The Knicks were a big surprise coming out of New York. We know that. And Miami and, you know, who else? I think maybe Toronto was just considered maybe, pretenders. So everyone did think Milwaukee was coming out. And I think when the playoffs came, they were still given the doubt because Brooklyn was the powerhouse, and then that one player went down or their players went down and they got hit by the injury bug, and Milwaukee did exactly what they were projected to do before the super team, and that was to come out and be champions. The surprise was beating the West. The surprise was that the East would be the champion. We all believe that regardless, the West Coast was going to take it this year, and if I recall, people were taking, once again, Lakers and Clippers were the two favorites coming out of the West, and that got all discombobulated and everything got moved around, and then everyone thought it would be Phoenix. And I don't think many people thought it would go past 5, and some said possibly 6, but no one thought, it, once again, the East would be the winners. So the surprise is that the East are the champions. Well done. Like you said, MJ, Batman Robin, Middleton, you know, in the playoffs had a little bit of a cold slump, and people were talking if Milwaukee could do it with just Giannis, but they didn't do it with just Giannis. They did it as a team and as a unit, and they did it with great coaching as well, excellent coaching and good defense. So kudos to them, kudos to that organization. And, you know, going out on a limb, honestly, with the momentum and the way they play and how they play, I wouldn't be surprised if going into next season they're the favorite as well as the one seed. So hats off to Milwaukee. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the MGM show on the E2G Sports Network, home of the Unsung Sports Grid. We're talking some hoops right up top of the show. Give us a call, 516-387-1702. Again, that number is 516-387-1702. Just piggybacking off of both of you guys, it was a tremendous final. I mean, we saw a great team. Let's not lose sight of that. Phoenix, despite, you know, in epic proportions, to unfortunately close out their 2021 season, but still, they still had a great season. They still was in still got to be looked at and perceived.
You know, they still had an amazing season.
Yeah, you know, they were and still got to be looked at and perceived as a great team. They definitely deserved to be there. And they deserved everything leading up to that point in time. They really have nothing to hang their head on outside of not finding a way, some way, somehow to at least make it a series. And, you know, when you go up 2-0, I mean, that's pretty big, you know, at any time in the playoffs, let alone the NBA Finals, right? I mean, but the fact that, you know, they lost, got swept on, you know, the opponent's home court, and then came back and then couldn't even find some way, somehow, in Game 5 back on their home floor, it's going to be pretty telling for them, and pretty hard to swallow that, you know, this upcoming offseason. But I will say this, I mean, I think you're a little bit off, Mike. You know, maybe you thought you heard what you heard, but I was with you. I predicted that the Bucks were going to win Game 3, but I just thought, you know, after seeing two very impressive games from Phoenix right out the gate, I thought, and I did say in our last episode that Giannis, hands down, was the best overall player. Was he going to be able to, you know, put the Bucks on his back and do what he needed to do to give them a fighting chance? When healthy, yes, but that was me and MJ's biggest question about that, is just how healthy is Giannis? You know what I mean? Is he even healthy? And if so, I mean, it's probably like, what, maybe 80, 85%, maybe 90%, but no way, no how, this guy 100%. So, yes, the Bucks had the best player, hands down, of the two teams. But I, along with MJ, I actually still had, you know, the Suns winning it, probably not just, you know, just going ahead and dominating Milwaukee, you know, winning 4-1 or anything like that. I thought it was going to be a little bit of a series once Milwaukee came home. But I did say that Phoenix was the better team. I didn't think, you know, with a less than 100%, I didn't think that a less than 100% that, you know, a Giannis-led squad would be enough, because I didn't really like his supporting cast. But boy, was I wrong. You know, not only was it enough, but they came storming back, and yep, here they are. You look up today, and they sit on top of the NBA world. So that's pretty amazing. One thing I will say, you know, obviously with the Bucks winning this NBA Finals and them doing so, sending Phoenix into the offseason on a 4-game losing streak, do you guys know that Phoenix, this is how great they were, and very, very consistent. They were the definition of consistency in this year's NBA league, but they haven't lost 4 games in a row all season. They came close. All they ended up doing in terms of a losing streak at any point was lose 3 games in a row. So this was a new season high, unfortunately for them. And for them, it absolutely came at the wrong time and ended up costing them one at the end. Looking at Milwaukee, and where it's like Giannis, right? And you have some very good players making up that Bucks team, but he doesn't have, like, I want to say, you know, a definitive another proven superstar playing next to him. Just like, you know, you look on the other side, Phoenix. You know, there's a Devin Booker, and you got the Chris Pauls of the world. But between the two of them, they're pretty dynamic, right? But, like, they're not even – just one of those guys is, like, considered to be, like, obviously a Kevin Durant, a Giannis, a LeBron, you know, something of that nature. So you can look at both of these teams, both Milwaukee and Phoenix, hopefully teams like, you know, on the horizon like Boston, and you look at, you know, like MJ was saying, the Jazz with Donovan Mitchell and stuff like that. Does this give non-super teams, but, you know, every bit in their own right, contending teams, does this give non-super teams some hope with, you know, next year, 2022 and beyond? What do you think, Mike?
You know, I agree with most of that. You know, I think that, you know, moving forward, I know we're going to touch on this topic, so I might as well start going that way, you know, anyway, because you were talking about, you know, facing the NBA and and is Giannis, does he have that capability and does he have that star power and should he be, you know, the face of the NBA? And you just, that's not a question you would ask with a person who just won a championship. And it's a question that you do have to ask. And it's a two-part question, in my opinion, because first of all, should he be the face of the NBA? Absolutely. He's a star. He's a star. Now, listen carefully what I'm going to say. He's a star. He just won an NBA title. He has a great background story coming up poor, coming from Africa, not having a car when he comes here, having to get a ride by a fan. It's a great story that he had to get a ride from a fan to the stadium, drafted low, moving his way up, and now, you know, making the money and helping his family and sending money home and becoming an NBA star and now winning the championship. No criminal record. You don't hear anything negative. No bad history. Great smile. Great persona for the people. Absolutely. But we had a question 2 weeks ago when Stephen A. was questioned with his remarks about Giannis and how he would not be a superstar or an NBA face or something to that, you know, don't quote me, but something to that aspect. And what I said earlier was he's a star. I'm talking about athletically. I'm talking about gifted. I'm talking about his skill set and his mindset. But a superstar in America, is a different person. He has to have a bigger-than-life persona. You don't get a lot of goodwill stories that become superstars, in my opinion. You don't get a lot of people that come from other countries that become superstars here in America. Soccer is an amazing sport, and it's world-renowned and the most popular sport in the world, but not in America because most of the athletes are not American who are the superstars. Baseball, a very good sport, but most of the players are not American, so we don't get that. We don't give it the push, okay? NFL, number one sport in America, okay? Most of the players are African, are American, okay? Hold on, I'm sorry, okay, let me make it real quick. But as far as can he be the face, he should be, but I don't think he will be because of the simple fact that Americans won't accept that. Americans in the NBA aren't ready to turn the page yet. You still got the Steph Curry, you still got the Kevin Durant, you still got the Jason Tatum. So he should be, but I don't think he will be. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go so long. I just seen that. Okay, we have a caller?
Yeah, we do. But just before we get ready and take that the incoming call here, he touched on, you know, obviously, you know, post-interview after winning this chip. And it really kind of just piqued my interest because you just don't hear stars, superstars, call it what you will. I mean, it is what it is, but like you just don't see really this humble
take
side anymore. I know. I just want to say this, and then I'm going to call right to the call. But he said, I know I'm a role model, but this should make every person, every kid, anybody around the world believe in their dreams. You know, he's very influential, and I'm going to take this call, but, you know, I want to hit on, you know, just how he ended up describing this chip. Caller, you're on with the MGM show.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Hey, what's up?
Good, what's up, man?
Who's this?
Good. I want to talk about New York Jets and Zach Wilson.
What's
your name?
What's your name?
My name is Brandon.
What is it?
Brandon.
Brandon,
where are you calling from?
Nice to have you, Brandon.
Thank you. Long Island.
Oh,
nice.
You're from New York, so you want to talk Jets football?
Yeah.
There we go.
Let's
do it.
What's the question?
Let's do it. What do you got for us?
So, you know, it's very concerning that Zach Wilson hasn't signed his deal yet. I mean, his contract. You know, we all know what happened with Sam Darnold when he got drafted. He didn't sign his until 3 days into practice, into training camp. You know, it's very important for a rookie to have that mental rep, to have those physical reps there. So when the regular season comes, he's not making mistakes. I mean, obviously all rookies make mistakes, but, you know, you don't want to have, where Sam Darnold came in, he threw an interception on his first play. You don't want that to happen to Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. I mean, I haven't really, you know, happened to get completely caught up with, you know, just around the league and the training camps. I mean, they're just opening up. But what do you think exactly is the what do you think exactly is the holdup? And if so, just how far away do you think the two sides are?
Well, I mean, I'll just jump in real quick. I think.
Go ahead.
I mean, I've been listening up. I know I've been reading up a little bit on Zach Wilson the last couple of days, just in, you know, in general with the NFL. Obviously, his contract. He wants some incentives in his contract. Plus, I think a lot of what Zach Wilson, I mean, in this new CBA, they, you know, there's a line that they can't really cross for all. Every draft slot has a projected total that you can actually make. So what is happening here is, I think there's like a standoff, which is really, I think Zach Wilson's in the wrong. And I agree with you, Brandon, that these nowadays, back in the day, prior to the new CBA in 2011, you can sign, you know, an absurd amount of a deal. Sam Bradford, I recall, had a $30 million guaranteed contract, which it's unheard of nowadays, even for first round picks. And, I just find it odd. I mean, Salah hasn't come out and said anything yet, but I do find it odd. There's been a lot of reports that there's a lot of people in the Jets organization that's getting I don't want to say fed up. They're just getting very agitated by the situation because, you know, as a rookie, like you said earlier, Brandon, with Sam Darnold, you need to get there and get your reps early, especially with the new coaching staff. You know, you got a lot of new players on offense, so I agree with you. I mean, I'm a Patriots fan, so he can stay out as long as, you know, as he wants. But all jokes aside, I think that it's best for his, you know, especially with the offseason that he's had, you know, off the field. His mom has made a lot more news than he has, and that doesn't really look good for him, even if he's not the one that's actually spreading those news. But, there's a lot of turmoil going inside the Jets organization. That's what I've read. I don't have any inside track in that. But.
And I'll even take it a step further. I mean, not for nothing, but this is still kind of like a COVID sort of like, you know, new sort of league where there's different protocols and all these safety, you know, things put into place. I mean, the league now is just kind of getting back to what it was 2 years ago. I mean, last year was completely different. So being a rookie, needing the reps, like MJ was saying, the whole COVID protocol and kind of the newfound league. I mean, yeah, you like to think that the two sides will be able to close that gap and get them in as soon as possible because we're a little over a month away, you know, about a month and a half away. It's going to come. It's going to come fast. Any other thoughts, or is that pretty much all that you got?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the media was asking Robert Saleh about it, and, you know, Robert Saleh said that, you know, Joe Douglas, you know, it's business. You know, I have faith in him. He's going to get the deal done. He was like, we'll see what happens in a couple of hours. In a couple of hours, there was no deal. You know, yesterday, the training camp opened up. You know, nothing happened. That was yesterday when he said that. Today, first day of practice, second day of training camp, who's out there? Mike White and James Morgan, you know, and they're about to bring the two veterans. They're gonna see which one they're gonna sign, but because Zach Wilson's not there, and it comes to my attention that this deal, you know, might go into deeper into August. You know, he has that agent. I forgot who it was. He was representing a player, and they didn't get the deal done into deep of August. And you know, it's concerning. You know, to Jets fans, it's concerning. You know, to a rookie, you know, to have that.
Nice. Yeah. Well, we'll see if we can definitely follow this story and see if we can dig anything. But thanks for the call, you know, with your concerns. I know us up here in New England, our rookie's on the field and apparently standing out already right out the gate. So, hey, he can, like MJ was saying, he can stay on the sidelines and take all the time he wants. That can only help us by default. But we do appreciate you calling in. And, no, all joking aside, though, I hope he makes it onto the field because I like to see what the Jets have in this kid or whatever. And hopefully end up getting one, maybe two up on you guys. And I'd like to get the satisfaction of beating the hotshot rookie. So, hey, you know what? Happy NFL 2021 season for you. You know, don't be a stranger. Feel free to give us a call again, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right. Take care. Have a good night.
Thanks, Brian.
What about that? We got a Jet fan kind of already showing the sweat beads, a little sweat with their...
You know, I believe the Jets, you know, the Jets will do what they have to do to get him time because the Jets
absolutely
are supposed to be contenders this year. You know, the AFC East is wide open. I mean, Buffalo may be a little bit above the other teams, but the other ones are all close to the pack. So the AFC East is still open, and they'll do what's necessary to get that guy signed and get those reps in, as this guy, as they were saying. And I think the Jets will contend this year. You know, they're... Well, we got 18 games. I mean, they actually have the ability to win 9-10 games. So they can definitely contend for a playoff spot. So they'll do what's necessary. And the Jets are no longer, you know, the laughing stock like they were years ago. You know, we slowly watched them improve and slowly have watched them get better.
No, they still are. No, they still are. As far as I like Zach Wilson, and, you know, obviously he has a lot of talent. But if you look at the roster isn't that good, so... I agree with
not,
Brandon and that, you know,
in that division,
get in there,
they'll get 8-9 games
hanging
in that division.
But
I feel, MJ,
with the drafting, you know, at the top of this year's draft of Zach Wilson, I mean, let's not, you know, kind of lose sight, but he was very hyped, you know. There was a lot of excitement, and rightfully so. This kid's got a big arm, very, very skilled, and the Jets, for all their laughing stock, you know, up here in these parts or whatever, getting a good laugh, just floundering around the basement and stuff like that, I feel like potentially draft picks like this, if they hit on them, he's going to help kind of fast-track this organization and hopefully put them on the path that they're looking for. But, you know, first steps, you know, the first step, you know, let's get them in, like Mike was saying, do what you got to do, but it's crunch time, you know, the start of training camp, you know, a lot of times people start to get all panicky when guys are about to sign, you know, just signing about a day or two before the start of training camp, hey, maybe one practice or two in or not, now training camp's started and he's still sitting on the sidelines, so I don't
know.
I
haven't heard anything about the contract, but you did mention something because I know there's a lot of issues about, you know, the COVID protocols and the CBA's making, you know, a lot of strict changes and all and fines and the immunization, whether you take it or not. So I'm just wondering, I mean, if it's just money related or, you know, if it's other little asterisks and other little things that are in
the contract. It's about his signing bonus and his guaranteed money.
Okay, his bonus.
That's
guaranteed
what I'm reading.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. All right, well, just switching gears. Yeah, like I was saying, there's just been a lot of good things about Giannis and stuff like that, but we're moving on. He definitely, I feel like, does deserve you know, probably more recognition and stuff like that.
Well earned.
You know, it was well earned, you know, huge, you know, achievement for that team, especially with so many people just expecting the Phoenix. I mean, good story all the way around. But we're going to turn our attention, sticking on the parquet, to Bradley Beal. I am Boston as a possible landing spot. You know, if indeed, you know, this whole trade request does go down, should the Celtics pull the trigger? And if so, do you really think that the feeling is mutual? I seem to think, you know, it is. I think the stars may be aligning for them. But I think in all... What it almost always comes down to, right, is like the asking price. What is it going to take to potentially land a guy like that? I think if the price is right, sure, you know, pull the trigger. Let's do it, you know. Let's try, you know, our luck and take another kick at the can. But, MJ, what do you think about this story that came out just a couple of days ago?
I mean, he hasn't requested a trade yet. So, I mean, that came out, so he's not official. But, I mean, it'd be nice. But, I mean, if you're going to have to give up Jaylen Brown and give up all, you know, all this draft capital and extra pieces, then maybe you're just going to be at the same place you were before. You know, because Bradley Beal is kind of, I mean, he's a better shooter than Jaylen Brown. But Jaylen Brown, as far as financially, contract-wise, I mean, you have him on a you know, team-friendly deal at this point for four more years. And Bradley Beal, I know he's Jason Tatum's boy, and I guess that's, you know, in order to entice him and do all that, you got to make the superstar in this, in that league. You know, they want all their buddies to play with each other. But I mean, as far as what does it make you better, does it make you put you next to that next level? I just feel like you're maybe a little bit better, but we're seeing teams like obviously the Bucks now, and we're seeing teams like the Nets. And the Hawks are coming up. The Knicks, you know, they have a lot of salary cap space that they can do something, a couple moves this offseason. So, you have to think a little bit bigger, but at this point, like, you just don't have enough to give. Because Jaylen Brown, I mean, you can – in order to get a star, you have to give up a star. So you have to give Jaylen Brown. That's your biggest trade piece at this point. And then so you're just kind of swapping out. You know, you want to create a big three. You don't want to lose one and just have another big two. So I just don't see it as – would I welcome it? Yes, but at the same time, I just don't think it's, at this time, is worth giving up as much as you're going to have to for a guy like Bradley Beal. For a guy like Damian Lillard and like guys that can change the game, Luka Doncic, if something like that came up, then I'd be like, okay, fine. I'll do it. But for Bradley Beal, I mean, great player, but I'm not sold as much as far as does that take you over the hump? Because we took a huge step back this season, and it's going to take a lot for us, not just one Bradley Beal to, you know, make another push. Because if you look around the league, everyone's just getting better in both conferences, and doesn't seem like you're moving anywhere. So, I mean, it's going to be hard. Brad Stevens has a lot of work cut out for him, but that's the landscape we're in. After Kyrie, Gordon Hayward left, you know, Kemba Walker didn't pan out, or this is where we're at, so... It's unfortunate, but hopefully we can find pieces and kind of build from there.
Mike?
If you did do the rumors, you know, I've been hearing the rumors too. And like MJ said, it's just rumors. I mean, he hasn't even asked for a trade yet, but it's just rumors. And I'm hearing a lot of teams. I'm hearing the Lakers. I'm hearing, Warriors, I've heard. Possibly could be an inside track with him. Whatever, it's going to cost a lot. And the Knicks have the most, and I'm heard they're interested. You know, they got a lot that they can offer. I don't think Boston will give what they need to get him. And if it's going to cost them Jaylen Brown, then it's apples and oranges. You're right back where you say, just like MJ said. And, you know, they need a big man. I've been saying that from, you know, last season. You just go get Al Horford. That's not the answer. You know, I think they need a big guy. I think that this move, if it happens, which I really don't think it's going to happen, and the part that hurts me is the fact that everyone's saying, oh, well, they're friends. Well, they're friends. Well, so what? What's that got to do with anything? Is that the way we trade now? Is that the reason we trade now? Because, like, you know,
it's what LeBron
did
for the league. It's what LeBron did. Thank that.
You know,
thank that dope LeBron.
You know,
it's a space jam.
You know what I mean? Right, so I don't think it's a major thing. I think, NBA is looking for something. You know, it's just rumors. It's off-season talk, yada, yada, yada. And if it did happen, it would cost too much for Boston, absolutely too much. I mean, 30 points, he averages 30 points a game. Great, great player. I don't think he's the answer here in Boston. I think, like you said, I mean, it's not much difference than what you were saying, MJ. I mean, it's hype, it's news, it's off-season rumors, but the reality of it is it's not a great move. It's not a bad one, but it's not a great move. It doesn't get me standing up ovation. You know, it's the same thing they did when they were talking Kendall Walker a couple of years ago. It's the same type of move to me. You're getting a much better player, don't get me wrong, than Walker was, but it was the same thing when they added my boy who just went to the Nets. I'm sorry, his name is escaping me, but
Kyrie.
Kyrie. Right.
Kyrie.
Same thing. So, right, yeah. It's
I think it's hard, especially, I mean, Tatum is supposed to be your superstar. So if you want to build off of Tatum, that's your, let's just say, your Luka Doncic. So you have to build off of that. You have to make him happy at all costs. So you got a coach that seems that he knows, that he likes. So you got, I've heard they've been having talks with the Pacers about Miles Turner. That's a big man. That's a guy who's been linked to the Celtics for a long time. Get that big man. Then you're going to need a point guard. So as far as getting the point guard, there's been a lot of speculation that there's guys like Kyle Lowry, which is going to cost a bunch. So I don't think that's an option. You don't want to go that route again. There's guys on the trade block like Mike Conley, Russell Westbrook. Like a guy, if you can get Miles Turner and Russell Westbrook somehow in the same offseason and pair them up without giving up Jalen Brown,
if you can get a Damian Lillard here, you make a difference.
But you're going to have to give up so much. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to think of cost-effective moves and stuff that's gone. I mean, Russell Westbrook gets it cheap, but I'm just saying stuff that maybe that
right.
at this point he won't cost as much. That way you can still keep your two studs, but just kind of build off of those two as opposed to having to let one go and then you're just kind of you know, switching out pieces and not really moving anywhere. You're just kind of, you know, moving this desk to the other side of the room. I mean,
yeah, that's very true. You guys make some valid points. I mean, I'm with you. I would love to see Bradley Beal become a member of the Celtics, but I'm thinking at this point in time, at least anyway, it's going to be more of a pipe dream than an actuality. I mean, maybe a year from now when, obviously, if he makes it that far, is set to become a free agent, yeah, them being able to have the cap space and stuff like that, then, hey, let's talk, you know, maybe it's going to be a little bit more believable. But I have a hard time thinking that they're going to, you know, look to be okay with anything less of a package that doesn't start with one JB, a.k.a. Jalen Brown. So, I mean, if Marcus Smart and, you know, a 3, 4, 5 bags of Skittles and, yeah, whatever you want for draft picks, if that's what the Celtics are thinking – is going to be enough to pique Washington's interest in making a deal with them, a swap with them, I think they're going to be, you know, sadly mistaken. But, I mean, because they wouldn't do that. Nobody would do that, you know. And right now it's got to start with Jalen Brown or bust if you're Washington. And, yeah, I'm probably at least with MJ. I don't know where Mike stands with this, but I love the potential. I like even the continued growth in his future that Jalen Brown has shown in recent years and still continues to show. And I still think we haven't seen the end product yet. So Tatum, Jalen Brown, I like it. Would love the addition of Beal, but I think it'd be more of a lateral move as opposed to a true, like, yep, this is an improvement. No, if you got to swap out Brown to get Beal, then I think that moves the needle marginally at best, but it doesn't make you a much better team, if at all. You're kind of right back to, you know, the drawing board. You know, you're right back to kind of where you were a year ago. But, you know, it just makes for, you know, a fun sort of mention and just another thing to talk about. But, yeah, as we just saw a couple of minutes ago, I mean, here we are taking a call from New York. That, my friend, brings us to all of our favorite topic when talking about the major sports world and stuff like that. MJ, myself, Mike, we're huge, huge NFL fans, and the NFL this week is officially back with training camps across the country opening up for business, fans attendance, soon to be 80,000+ sold out stadiums. I cannot wait. Yeah, what are you guys thinking? It's a great time of year. You know, I know you guys got to be excited.
I'm a big holiday guy. Well, like, so that's kind of like, I'm a big Thanksgiving, Christmas, that's the time of year. It's always a nice time of year. This is like second to that. Well, obviously a month from now would be the best, but, you know, start of NFL season, it's always an exciting time because you see a lot of guys, a lot of moving and shaking, especially this year with, you know, a lot of stuff out there with Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, and
you know, we never thought neither of them were going to see either of them. And both of them showed up to their respective training camps. And Aaron Rodgers dropped a doozy today, which was awesome. You don't get to hear much of stuff like that throughout the NFL. So it's just exciting to see, you know, team building, especially, you know, for all of us, we have different, you know, favorite teams. Galen and I like the Patriots. Mike, his Hard Knock Cowboys are going to be on Hard Knocks in a couple of weeks. So, you know, we're looking at them. And it's just fun to know that football is back. It seems as though everything's coming back to normal from what it was a year ago. We have fans, you know, in attendance. COVID's still becoming an issue again with the new Delta variant. So that's definitely something to look out for. You know, a lot of COVID positives, there's a lot of turmoil going around the league about, you know, what's going to happen if a team has to forfeit, you know, without pay. So it's something to look into, and let's hope we don't get to that point. But, it, you know, other than that, all that negativity, it's nice to have football back and to see, you know, just to see who's next. It's always nice to see, you know, the Bucs are the defending champs. But there's always that one team that comes out of nowhere that kind of surprises people. And, you know, I'm not going to make my predictions yet, but there's a lot of teams I'm looking at saying, look, this guy, if they can get a couple turns or they can get a couple healthy players, watch out for that team because they can make one of those Tennessee Titans 2019 0-1 Patriots type of runs. So, and for, you know, different point, fantasy football, obviously. We all play in a league, so that's always exciting to get your draft boards ready and kind of see who's healthy, who's not. And, yeah, that's mine. That's why I love this time of year.
Mike,
you know, a couple of months ago, in April, we were talking about the draft, you know, and it seemed like it was, you know, just around the corner. Hold on, just around the corner. And we couldn't wait for this time of year. We couldn't. Wait for this time of year. Sorry, we couldn't wait for this time of year. And it's here, and it comes fast. It comes so, so fast. I'm looking forward to it all. I'm looking forward to seeing some of these rookies that were drafted. Like, I mean, Najee Harris, I've been hearing a lot about him, and I want to see, you know, what he's going to do in the NFL. You know, I'm looking forward to – I'm trying not to get so much into the controversy in the offseason because it's been one wild offseason. Like you said, Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers and, you know, and this recent visit to the White House, what's going on with Tampa Bay. Congratulations to the Bucs once again, you know. Of course, Dak coming off of injury and the latest now with Michael Thomas and the latest with Saquon Barkley, you know, and the injury coming back, Christian McCaffrey. So it's a lot. The NFL, I think, offers so many different aspects to the off season, and that's why we talk about it all year round, because it just keeps you on edge, it keeps you going. And then the new coaches that are coming in, the new starting quarterbacks and the new defensive schemes and the defensive coordinators, and cutting it down even now, you know, when you get down to the cuts of the 75 and 62, I think it is, and then down to the 53 man roster. It's just all adrenaline. It's all exciting. And recently I'm just hearing that there is going to be a competition in New England for the quote-unquote starting job up there in New England with Cam Newton what's his name, Ryan?
Mac Jones.
Jones, yeah. And
Mac
so,
Jones.
I mean,
I was just going to say things. Mac Jones.
It's a lot to look forward. It's a lot to embrace. It's going to be very exciting. As you guys know, I am the commissioner in our league, so I opened that up now and added some things in there and, you know, added some new changes to our league. And just the excitement alone, the adrenaline, all of it's going good, and it's going to be some great games. I got my team's going against Tampa Bay first game of the year. Looking forward to that. And I think my team also the last game of the year is traveling up here to New England to face the Patriots. So there's some games that are going to jump out on our schedule.
October.
We'll probably have October, is it? We'll have some head-on-head battles and maybe some little side bets going. But definitely NFL's here, and I'm excited as hell and just can't wait to get going. And it's so much. Like, the NFL is so much that you just don't cover it all. I mean, 32 teams, but it's just so many different aspects of it. So we'll definitely have to tighten the ship on our show and really specify exactly what teams if we're going to go in depth on it. And as you said earlier, my team is going to be on Hard Knocks, and already Stephen A's calling it Soft Knocks. So he's already started his controversy and everything. First time ever a team's been on Hard Knocks 3 times. So my boys are always, you know, setting precedences and setting standards. So hopefully that won't distract them too much from what the main goal is, and that is trying to at least get back to being a serious contender and possibly a championship. So let's go Dallas.
It is 8:49 live from the East Coast on the E2G Sports Network. I'm Galen MJ, joined by Mike as well. We have the MGM show. Give us a call. A few minutes left to go in the show. 516-387-1702. That number is 516-387-1702. Yeah, I mean, training camp starting off all across the league. I know here in New England, there's already been some headlines right out the gate and the team's first official practice. It seems like, you know, the rookie there, granted it is early, I'm not trying to jump the gun, but it is, it feels good to see him have some sort of presence, to see him, you know, kind of, you know, put that sort of good pressure, you know, that you would want just as a fan and caring about the position at quarterback with the presumed starter Cam Newton, you know, for as good as Mac Jones, you know, looked today, granted there is no pads, they're not really ramping up the defensive calls just yet and stuff like that, but just getting out there, getting a few throws under his belt, hitting wide receivers in strides and stuff like that, and not, you know, throwing behind them or under throwing, stuff like that. I mean, these are all things that you're going to want to see out of you know, an average first-round pick, especially if you're hoping that he is going to be able to handle it and become the next franchise guy. I mean, yeah, he's going to have his bad days, but, you know, if he can have more good days than bad days and continue to take a step each and every practice, then that's what it is. This is that time of year, and that's what you want to see. Even the likes, I know this is probably going to cause MJ to roll his eyes because I'm rolling and doing it the same thing right now. But apparently, N'Keal Harry had a very strong practice. But we've also been down the well with this guy time and time again the last couple of summers and stuff like that. Can he stay engaged? Does he still want out? I mean, these are all things that, you know, I'm sure will come out, and I want to look to closely follow to see if they may have something. Finally, is this the motivating factor to potentially turn his sort of prospects around? Who knows? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe we are at a point of no return. And, of course, Cam Newton. Everyone wants to see him do well as long as he's here in New England, but according to NFL Network's Mike Giardi, he struggled, and he struggled pretty noticeably pretty much throughout practice. I mean, he's saying all the right things, but at least right out the gate, it just seems like it could potentially be deja vu all over again. But again, it's only practice number one. I mean, I just would like to see something from him. I like to think that, you know, last year isn't the new norm for Cam Newton. And if it is, I mean, again, him to go along with the rookie, it is going to take Mac Jones some time. I mean, I don't know, but the tight ends, I'm very intrigued by the additions of Boone, Aguilar. Football's back. Football's back, you know, whether it's New England here, obviously, like caller Brandon was saying, the whole Zach Wilson. This could be a ton to follow, and this is the time of year that we've been waiting for. It officially starts tonight, guys. It's going to be football, and continue to ramp up from here. I absolutely love it. But here we are with about 7 minutes to go in the show. Sticking with football, most likely I think it only makes you know, the utmost sense to end here. But at least with my final thoughts, and I want to swing this around, you know, Is it football, you know, that intrigues you? Is it another side story? Anything regarding with the Olympics? Clearly no final true segment tonight. So let's just get right into the final thoughts and close it out. MJ, I'm going to start with you.
So my final thoughts, so we've been away from the show for 2 weeks, so there's been a lot that's gone on. I'm going to take it to the NFL, and I just want to – my final thoughts is regarding the Green Bay Packers and the whole Aaron Rodgers situation. In the last few days, we've seen some kind of resolvement with the issue, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers finally reporting to training camp. Seems a little bit disgruntled, and it seems like, you know, as though that everything just kind of they agreed to this is going to be his last dance, and then after the season he's free to go somewhere else, either retire or try another team. After his press conference today, I just felt I had two feelings. I felt there was a little bit of you know, excitement, because you never see a player kind of call out his team. And if you haven't seen the Aaron Rodgers' press conference today with the Green Bay media, I suggest that you actually look it up. You can find it anywhere. But he kind of called out the Green Bay Packers very, you know, upfront. He wasn't kind of, you know, vintage Aaron Rodgers kind of, you know, saying it underneath his breath, or kind of saying, oh, I'm just here to play football, and, you know, doing the same old shtick that he usually does, that he's been doing ever since the last season after the NFC Championship game. And it kind of was kind of telling, because I feel as though that Aaron Rodgers thinks he's something that he isn't. I think Aaron Rodgers thinks that he is the Tom Brady. He is the Michael Jordan. We saw him post something this weekend with Scottie Pippen and Davante Adams, kind of, you know, they kind of mutually posted the same picture. Like, it's the last dance, it's our last ride. And I just kind of feel that Aaron Rodgers thinks he's kind of this greater quarterback that everyone makes him out to be. I might be mistaken, but isn't the whole goal of playing a game is to win the game? Aaron Rodgers has lost 4 out of 5 NFC Championship games. He has missed the playoffs a numerous amount of times, been 8-8, 9-7, kind of middling. And this guy, he wants to blame. He as many stats as he's putting up back in these days. The guy can never get to that point, and he wants to call himself the greatest, the last dance. I want to be like Tom Brady. I want to call my own shots. People want to come here and play with me, as he said in his press conference. No, they don't, Aaron. You're a smug DB, and his whole attitude that he's one of this great quarterback, I don't get it. I don't see it. Yes, he makes a lot of good plays. Yes, he has a cannon for an arm. Yes, he can make a play happen with his legs. He is not one of the best quarterbacks of all time. I'm saying that right now. He is overrated, and his attitude just throws you off. I mean, we had a lot of bad quarterbacks with bad attitudes, but a lot of them produced. They kind of had that swagger about them. Tom Brady, most recently. And this guy wants to come in here and say, oh, yeah, this is my house. I'm the one that built this house. You know, hate to break it to you, Aaron. The Lombardi Trophy is named after Vince Lombardi, who created that franchise. The Green Bay Packers were the first team to win back-to-back championships, Super Bowl I and Super Bowl II. Brett Favre led them to once in 96 and 97. Aaron, you've only been to the Super Bowl once in 2010. You are nothing. Sit down, shut up. That's my final take. Sorry. I went a little long.
Mike?
Next.
Oh, sorry. Well, that went kind of long, so I guess I got to make mine very short.
I was just trying – I was learning from Galen about going long takes. Sorry. I don't know.
My final thoughts, put it this way, is just what happened to the heavyweight division in boxing. Boxing used to be one of the greatest sports, and it seems like it's fallen to the late wayside over the last few years. I know we have guys like Tyson Fury, I mean, and we have Anthony Joshua, and we have Deontay Wilder, you know, these guys are all good boxers. None of them are considered great. You know, bring back the days of Evander Holyfield and the Mike Tysons and the Riddick Bowles and the Buster Douglases and the Ray Mercers and the I can go on, Razor Ruddicks, you know, when everybody was contenders and everybody was an A-plus boxer. You know, heavyweight boxing definitely is a bunch of B-class rated boxers who are just average, and that's why the sport is going to the wayside. I miss the heavyweight division. Can somebody come out and become an undisputed unanimous decision champion and be the best? Sorry, I had to run fast.
And my, final thoughts, I'm going to actually go a little stray, because we actually had some breaking news, if you want to call that, about almost 15 minutes ago now, maybe a little bit too late. But apparently the Yankees made a deal. They traded for Texas, former Texas outfielder Joey Gallo, Yankee send prospect Ezekiel Duran, and Josh Smith to Rangers for Gallo and pitcher John King. That's going to do it for tonight's episode, guys. It was a great show. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, MJ. We'll see you next week, everybody. See ya.
We're good.